on the Stewardship Sunday. Thought maybe we'd take a dose of the prophet Jeremiah today. And he begins with kind of a lament of what has been, people's unfaithfulness. It's the 31st chapter, beginning with the 27th verse. "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of humans and the seed of animals. And just as I have watched over them to pluck up and break down, to overthrow, destroy, and bring evil, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. In those days they shall no longer say, 'The parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge.'" Man, I wish I could think of things like that to say. The people have been unfaithful. They've eaten sour grapes. But then a change of tune. Change of tune, change of tone. "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, 'Know the Lord,' for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more." And may God bless this reading and hearing of this holy word. During the Second World War, a group of American soldiers found themselves in an intense battle with German troops in the rural countryside of France. During the battle, one of their comrades, sadly, was killed. They did not want to leave his body on the battlefield and decided to give him a Christian burial. They remembered a church a few miles behind the front lines whose grounds included a small cemetery surrounded by a fence. After receiving permission to take their friend's body to the cemetery, they set out for the church, arriving just after sunset. A priest, his bent over back and frail body betraying his many years, responded to their knocking. "Our friend was killed in battle," they said. "We want to give him a church burial." The priest asked, "Was he Catholic?" "No, we don't think so." "I'm sorry," he said. "We can only bury those of the Catholic faith here." Weary after many months of war, the soldiers simply turned to walk away. "But wait, wait, wait," the old priest called after them. "You can bury your friend outside the fence." Cynical and exhausted, the soldiers dug a grave, buried their friend just outside that fence. They finished after nightfall. The next morning, the unit was ordered to move out. So they rushed back to the church for one final goodbye to their friend. But when they arrived, they could not find the grave. Rather confused, they knocked again at the church door. The priest answered. They asked if he knew where they had buried their friend. "It was dark last night. We were exhausted. We must have been disoriented." A smile flashed across the old priest's face. "No. No, you weren't disoriented. Last night, after you left, I could not sleep. So I went out early this morning and moved the fence." Nobody told him to do that. Soldiers didn't threaten him. Where did such a tender act of mercy come from? I think it just might have arisen out of a covenant not written on stone, but written on his heart. I know a church. Young couple started attending the church, didn't have a lot of financial resources. Soon, she was expecting a child. Sunday after Sunday, church members watched the pregnancy progress. Well, pretty soon, baby clothes began to appear. And my goodness, there was a stroller, changing table, diapers. All these things began showing up. A shower was scheduled and celebrated. Nobody called a meeting to set things in motion. No committee took a vote. No one asked for church funds. People, without being told or asked, just began getting things together, doing what they could to help. Where does such spontaneous caring come from? Again, my mind goes to that covenant of God written, not on stone, but in the human heart. Throughout his life, the prophet Jeremiah called the people of Israel to obey God's law. And he wasn't the only one. Time and time again, year after year, all the great prophets called on the people to follow God's law, God's way, the path of faithfulness. I mean, it was written right there. Right there for all to see. You know what the Lord requires of you, they said. Well, there's just one problem with this. It didn't work. Though the law was clear, God's way distinct, time and time again, we preferred our way to God's way, our wisdom to God's wisdom. We wandered, we disobeyed, we rebelled. Consider, in the time it took Moses to walk from the top of the mountain down the mountain with the Ten Commandments, the people already violated the first one, worshiping a golden calf. So with great sadness, in the first part of our text, Jeremiah points to the tragedy of a stubborn refusal to follow God's path. If you don't believe him, well, take a look at the evening news. Not exactly the Garden of Eden out there. In the words of the ancient prayer from the Episcopal Book of Common Prayer, we have done that which we ought not to have done, and we have left undone that which we should have done. Or as the Apostle Paul laments about his own life, I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. Looks like he's been peeking in on my life and a lot of our lives. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. The ancient human dilemma. But interestingly, Jeremiah, the curmudgeon that he always was, isn't quite ready to give up. And he points to a God who in no way is ready to give up. He looks forward to a brighter day, when God's law, God's will be written not on tablets of stone, but on the human heart. And this will have very little to do with human will or intention. This is something that God initiates within us, God writing on our hearts the life that God intends for us. It is what can happen to faithful believers nurtured within a community of faith. Right now, says Jeremiah, God is busy working with each of you, forming you, shaping you into the people God wants you to be from the inside out. You know, sometimes we say we know a song or a poem by heart. That's a nice expression. It's a testimonial that some piece of music or poetry has really become a part of us, has burrowed deeply into our souls. We don't have to think about it. We just say it or sing it by heart. That, says Jeremiah, is the direction God is leading us when it comes to the life of faith. Not a set of rules as much as having something on the heart, able to sing the song without reading the notes. So yes, we practiced generosity in a world terrified of scarcity. We practice hope in a world consumed by despair. We practice memory in a world of amnesia. We practice compassion and welcome in a world that seems consumed with a mean-spirited and fearful selfishness. We move from commandments to conversation, from rules to relationship. Here, we see a vision of a new community, a whole new people. As the little prince reminded us, it is only with the heart that one can rightly see. What is essential is invisible to the eye. Story from the African church. You've heard this from me before, but okay, I couldn't resist. In a small church in rural Kenya, the time came to receive the morning offering. When the offering plate came to a young woman, a newly baptized Christian, set the plate on the ground, got up, and stood in it. Now we're talking stewardship, okay? Giving herself fully to God's service. Never know what might happen. What new commitments, what changed priorities. Just don't know what happened when God's word and love penetrate your heart. Reminds me of the story of a little church that was having a homecoming service to which former members who had moved away were invited. One of those former members had become a multimillionaire. When asked to speak, he recounted a childhood experience in the church. He had earned a silver dollar, his first dollar, which he decided he would keep forever. But then he heard a visiting missionary there in the church preach about the urgent need for funds in his mission work. The moving sermon was followed by an offering. The man shared that a great struggle took place within his heart. As a result of that struggle, he said, I put my treasured silver dollar in the offering basket. I am convinced that the reason God has blessed me richly is that when I was a boy, I gave God everything I had. Congregation was spellbound by the story. This local boy made good. But then an elderly little man right in the front stood up and said, wonderful story. Friend, I dare you to do it again. Don't know how that story ends. But again, you don't know what might happen when the love of God, the path of God, is not just an interesting topic for discussion, but is in fact written on your heart. Yes, this is Stewardship Sunday, the dreaded and feared Sermon on the Mount. And I could give you a list of church financial needs. I'm just sure that's what our visitors want to hear today. Search for a new minister. Possibility that we might have to add his or her health insurance costs to our budget. Be a significant expense. Ongoing maintenance needs. Expand utility costs. Costs associated with a growing church school and music program. Those certainly aren't bad things. Fair pay for our dedicated staff. And ever-expanding mission opportunities, on and on. But you know all this. But in thinking about our text, I think the real issue, not just on this Sunday, but every single Sunday, the real issue is who or what is in your heart, and what is your heart calling you to do? This is harvest time, when we celebrate all that we have planted and reaped together in the past year. I think of mission trips, a whole new building, births and weddings, and yes, deaths shared together as a community, times of growth, times of laughter, times of tears. But it is also a planting time, as we now plant our hopes and dreams for the coming year, as we contemplate our support of the church and our shared ministry in the months ahead. I like to think of this church as a place where spiritual batteries are recharged in the setting of public worship and in one-on-one encounters, where music and the arts find expression through the sharing and appreciation of gifts, where counsel is given and prayer offered in times of stress and need, where children and youth are taught and adults given the opportunity to grow in the Christian faith, where we are encouraged, challenged to expand our vision and caring beyond these sanctuary walls, where the high moments of life are solemnized and celebrated. And knowing all this may very well help inform your decision to grow in your support of this shared ministry. But ultimately, that decision will be energized and sustained, not by anything I'm saying, but by what is in your hearts. How you choose to respond from that center of your personal values and priorities. What is written on your hearts? What is stirring within you as you contemplate the abundance of God's love and hope and blessings in your life? Some words, it's a blessing, really, from the late William Sloan Coffin, Jr. May God give you the grace never to sell yourself short, the grace to risk something big for something good. Listen to the stirrings of your heart. You'll know what to do. Let us pray. Gracious God, in this season of gratefulness and thanksgiving, we do pause to remember and reflect on all the ways you have touched and blessed our lives. And may this be a season also, God, when we do listen to the stirrings of our heart for that word you are whispering to each one of us. Amen. This morning, as we prepare for offering, I would like to invite those of you sitting here in our middle aisle to please take our attendance pad. If you could just sign that.